Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we are here with the one and only Mark McGrath. He'll be performing Tuesday, July 4th for the Capitol 4th concert. Mark, thanks so much for taking the time to join us.
Hey, it's my pleasure, Jason. Thanks for having me.
We actually, just a few days ago, talked to John Stamos, who's hosting, and he said that you and him will be performing a specific song with the Beach Boys. Explain.
Yes, I got a call about a year ago to do a duet with Mike Love on a solo record with an old school Beach Boys song called "Do It Again," and that was a dream come true because growing up in Newport Beach, California, the Beach Boys were my idols. They still are my idols. So the fact that I get a chance to jam with the Beach Boys on this legendary Capitol 4th, July 4th celebration in D.C. is just, it's mind-numbing. I mean, it just came from a phone call that led to a recording of this song, so we'll be doing Do It Again live with Stamos on drums and the whole Beach Boys in all the glory of the 4th of July.
You can't get more American than that. You and the Beach Boys on the 4th. That's going to be in D.C. too. It's going to be great.
I'm telling you, growing up watching this show, you know, and being such a fan of it, and just, it was just worlds away, and it was like a fantasy land. I was so proud to be an American and part, you know, just watching this celebration, I felt part of the event. I felt part, you know, I felt part of something, and to be part of it now, all these years later, dreams do come true in this country, and certainly on July 4th for me.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, in addition to the Beach Boys, are you going to be playing anything else? Any of your Sugar Ray stuff?
You know what? I was trying to. I'm getting a little cocky. I'm going, hey, guys, if you want to throw Flyer every morning in there, you know, they were number one song. And apparently that didn't get down the wire because we're just going to do four Beach Boys songs. And I'm kidding. I would never, ever suggest anything other than the Beach Boys. I mean, they're the gospel to me. It's such beautiful music. And, you know, I'm going to be also joining them on Surf and Safari as well, doing some background vocals. So my plan is to have the best day of my life, stay out of the Beach Boys' way, and just look out at that crowd in the mall and just think about how lucky and fortunate I am to be an American on that day.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, you mentioned that, you know, I don't know, man, Fly or God Only Knows. I mean, they're on the same level.
Oh,
I know.
Those are fighting words for some people, you know. I mean, but God Only Knows is that song to me that was, it's still my all-time favorite song. It, you know, when music can move you and take you a different place, that's what the Beach Boys do.
Yeah.
That's what great music does. And but boy, to be part of something like that on 4th of July, it's just going to be, you know, like I said a million times, it's a dream come true. I still can't articulate how excited I am about doing this with all, you know, so many great acts, the Four Tops, Kelly Pickler, you know, Tracy Adkins, Yolanda Adams, the list goes on and on, and in our nation's capital, it's going to be a ball.
It's going to be awesome. Well, I mean, I know you're not going to be doing any of your stuff, but I do got to say, similar to the Beach Boys, you know, it was some great, you know, summer listening, I think. I mean, at least that was sort of our era we grew up with, Sugar Ray. Take me into you know, that first big breakthrough with Fly. Is there a first time you remember hearing it out in public? Do you remember where you were?
Absolutely. I mean, we talk about dreams come true. There was a few times we'd hear our music and we knew it was coming on, you know, before Fly hit. You know, we had a record before the Fly record. And, you know, we'd hear ourselves on the radio, but we knew at 2:55 a.m. a certain station is going to play your song one time. So I'd heard our songs on the radio before, but hearing it, you know, unsolicited, just was out of the ether. I was driving down Melrose Avenue with my now wife. And, you know, this was, you know, 20 years ago. I can't believe Fly was 20 years ago.
Yeah.
In my 68 Cadillac Coupe de Ville. And Fly just came on the radio. And I was driving. It was an old school Cadillac with an old AM/FM radio. And Fly came on K-Rock, which is the legendary alternative rock station that kind of dictated all the everything we listened to in the 90s.
Sure.
And it came on this station. I'm driving down Melrose, and the sun was shining in my face. I looked over at my now wife, and I go, I can't believe this is happening. And I can go back to that moment every time I hear one of our songs on the radio. It always feels like the first time. And Fly is literally the song that made all our dreams come true. First gold record, first time on MTV, first time touring around the world with the tour bus. And it's led me to talking to you right now, Jason. That's how much Fly means to me, you know?
It was all building to this point, really.
Hey, you know what? This is the culmination of Fly and everything it brought to me. And And am I ever grateful? You know, this is the pinnacle right here, Jason.
Absolutely. Being on WTOP, of course. No, but the trick for a lot of people is you get that big smash, but then they don't know how to follow it up. And I just love that you guys played off of that with the album title, the 1459 after that, which I thought was genius. Explain to our listeners how you were sort of, you know, playing, or I guess it's a jab at the whole 15 minutes of fame thing.
Yeah, you have to have a sense of humor in this business. That's one thing I definitely learned. And when Fly hit, it was the anomaly on that record. You know, we kind of came from more harder, thrashier punk rock world, and Fly was this sort of, you know, this song with melodies and harmonies, a little bit different from our other stuff. So we were really a candidate to be a one-hit wonder. It sounded like nothing else on the record, and before the record was even off the charts, people were saying, "Thanks for playing, Sugar Ray. Thanks for being a one-hit wonder." So being very self-aware and very self-effacing, we kind of knew the position we were in. So I said, "You know what? No matter what, if this next record fails, let's have fun with it. You know, let's let people." People know, we know what position we're in. We don't think we're cool because we had this one little hit. We know we're lucky. Why don't we lead the record with 14 minutes and 59 seconds, which is alluding to Andy Warhol's famous quote where everybody's going to be famous in the future for 15 minutes, which turned out to be pretty accurate. So we called it 14 minutes, 59 seconds, alluding to we have one more second, possibly, of fame. Now, fortunately, it's the greatest title in the world if the record fails, and if the record succeeds, which it fortunately did, it's the greatest title in the world as well. It followed up with Every Morning, which was number one, Someday was number three, and Falls Apart was number 23, but who's counting? You know, Jason, it's not about numbers, but and it sold 3 million copies, so it outdid the predecessor, which had Fly on it, floored. So that's kind of the story about 1459. No one makes fun of Sugar Ray or me better than me, so we kind of wanted to put that on display to the world.
Self-deprecating humor is the best kind, my friend. No joke though. I went to review this Spider-Man last night. I pop into a bar afterwards, and Every Morning is playing on the radio. You can't script that. That's amazing. Your stuff's still being played. Tell me about Every Morning and Someday. You mentioned them really quick. I just love sort of the visual storytelling in that, about the halo on the corner of the bed. I got to settle the debate in the newsroom, some of our coworkers. Is she cheating, or is she just pretending to be innocent while she's with you, or what is that? What's the halo?
Yeah, I've heard some of the crazy stories about that. Most I can't even repeat on the radio, and it's funny. One thing I learned about lyrics and songwriting is you don't want to tell people what they're about, because
right.
Everybody, they create their own meaning for the song, and that's great. That means the song has universality. But that song is about, I'll say, temptation on the road, okay?
Okay.
And that, you know, someone at home is an angel, and then maybe you're not being an angel, okay? Let's put it that way.
Okay, yeah.
But let's just, it's temptation, not necessarily acting on temptation, and we've all been there. But I've heard people saying that the, you know, forgive me for saying this, but the halo is analogous for a condom.
I have read that too. I have read that too.
I have read that. It's been told to my face many times in a mall with my kids right there.
That's so funny. But on the flip side of that, Someday is kind of similar, right? Because you've gone on this and you've done the hard living life, but then Someday is sort of about the nostalgic quality of looking back and hoping, appreciating who you chose to be with through all of that, right?
You know, that's perfectly said. And what's weird about Someday, Someday's exactly about the moment right now I'm thinking about Someday. Meaning it was, you know, written in real time about what I'd be thinking 20 years later. When the song was happening, and a lot of the lyrics in that song, you know, I'm still with my wife that song was written about. It's just really weird. It's like foreshadowing. It's almost like seeing the future and being and sort of self-aware enough to know how lucky and fortunate we are right now and looking back on these times. And like, you know, we were always one of those bands that stopped and smelled the flowers. Mm-hmm. In fact, we picked the flowers and we took them home with us because we knew. Yeah, we weren't the most talented band in the world. We certainly weren't the best musicians, and I certainly don't have the best voice in the world. But some kind of divine intervention, some kind of luck just kept us there. So we were very aware of that. And it took a village. You know, we all kind of co-wrote the songs together. Our producer, David Kahn, was very, very influential in getting our sound together. So it truly took a village to make this happen. So Someday was about looking back at something 20 years from now in real time.
And now you're there. No.
And now I'm here. And like it's the moment. Yeah. It's exactly what it feels like. It's really weird. You've got to foreshadow yourself.
No, I love that you're sort of that, you know, that that family man now. Because, you know, I mean, even I think Kid Rock referenced it once. You were a little bit of a ladies' man back in the day. But,
oh, yeah.
But now, I mean, remember that lyric? Remember his lyric?
I on your show that Kid Rock referenced me in. Yeah, you know, it's funny. I do two things now I said I'd never do in my life. And I grew up on the beaches out here in Southern California. And, you know, movie, if you live in the Valley, it's like that Chips episode when the Vals came down to the beach and they got in a big fight. You know, you couldn't live in the Valley if you grew up on the beach. And now I live in the Valley. Okay, that's number one. The second thing I do is I drive a minivan. I'm a proud minivan driver.
Yes.
So I'm like, who have I become? I live in the Valley. I drive a minivan and I couldn't be happier, you know. I mean, I think it's evolution, and I'm a proud passenger on the train.
That's so awesome, man. No, you've come full circle and come home to yourself. I love it. I just have to say, I am a twin myself, so I appreciate that you're raising twins yourself. What's the biggest challenge as a parent of twins,
Jason? The biggest challenge of raising twins, as you probably know, is making sure you treat them both equally. And I have a boy and a girl, so. You know, it's a little difficult in that sense, but, you know, I always say this, the joy's in stereo and the distortion is in stereo, you know, so with twins are getting the full effect. And, I thank the Lord above, you know, I had kids a little later in life and I was sitting up in there in the Hollywood Hills going, is that all there is, about 7 years ago? You know, and I had some great things happen to me, and then my kids came, and now I'm on this great journey again.
That's awesome. Well, we can't wait to see you at the Capitol 4th on Tuesday, July 4th. Mark McGrath, thanks so much for joining us. This was great.
Jason, it's my pleasure. Thanks for the talk, man. I had a lot of fun.
All right, take it easy.
Thanks, bro.